Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope Podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. Well, we are wrapping up our series today called Lead Well. And what we've been talking about, if you haven't been able to be with us, is that everybody is a leader. Everyone is a leader because everybody has eyes on them. Somebody is watching you. Somebody's listening to you. There is somebody in your life that has the potential to follow you. And you have the opportunity to influence someone else. So it doesn't matter whether you're a business owner, whether you're an employee, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a coach, whether you're a parent, even if just the simple fact that you always constantly have to lead yourself, you are a leader, whether you like it or not. It cannot be escaped. And one of the last things that I want to talk about today is that I want to talk about what happens whenever we come into criticism. It's a guaranteed. Everybody at some point is going to come into criticism. It's just in the same way that we eagerly anticipate the return of the pumpkin spice latte, so we should eagerly anticipate criticism. And even though it's not as fun as a pumpkin spice on a lovely fall day, it is going to come. I remember the first time that I came into some criticism. One of my first positions in leadership came in college at Mid-American Nazarene University, and I was elected Vice President of Student Ministries. The nickname that everybody gave this position was VP for Jesus, and so I was VP for Jesus, and I overlooked all of the on-campus ministries for students. I oversaw four student chaplains, and then I worked with the university's chaplain on campus. And so we got together, and I had the idea when I came on board that I was going to completely flip everything that had been done before. I was going to completely wipe the slate clean and completely rebuild. And I'll never forget the first meeting that we had. It was with the former VP for Jesus, Jacob. It was with the student chaplains and the chaplain, and everyone who worked in his office. And I sat there and I explained how I was going to get rid of everything that I'd done before and completely revamp it. And I just was so excited because I had the naive idea in that leadership position that everyone was going to love my ideas. And so I pitched my ideas, and I never forget how Jake, the former VP for Jesus, responded. He had his hands in his hair, and he just said, You can't do that. You can't, that won't work. Tell him he can't do that. Tell him that won't work. And I just was totally surprised. I mean, in my head, what I had envisioned is maybe everybody rise to the beat of a slow clap. Like, because I thought this was the greatest thing that could ever possibly happen. But no, there I was met with a lot of criticism, a lot of pushback, not just from people in that meeting, but even people on campus who didn't think it was a good idea. And it surprised me. It kind of even took me back. And all of us at some point or time are going to have that criticism. We're going to experience that criticism. For some of us, it will happen face to face. For some of us, it will happen via email. For some of us, it will happen in a Google review or a Yelp review or even in the Facebook comment section. For some of us, God forbid, this is the worst, this has happened to me, it will come in a handwritten letter with no signature and no return address. And then the mystery begins. Who hates me? Let's think about who it could be. But we all receive that criticism. For some of us, it'll happen face to face. For others of us, it'll happen in a different context. For some of us, it'll be from a boss. You know, in a job interview or even in a job review where somebody sits you down and they go, well, you know, let me tell you, there's two things you're doing great and there's five things I just wish you would change about yourself. For others of us, it'll be much more personal than that. For some of us, it will come in the form of a family or a friend, which those tend to hurt even worse because they come from somebody who we trust, whose criticism we take to heart in a strong way. I'll never forget whenever Olivia, my four-year-old daughter, was 1 year old, she was very curious about the potty. You know, she wanted to know what mommy and daddy were doing on there. And so we thought we had seen a friend of ours on Facebook who had a little girl who's very similar in age to Olivia, that she heard this thing that you get a one-year-old a little toddler potty a bit earlier than you typically would, not to train a child, a one-year-old, how to be potty trained, but just so they could see it, so they could be curious, and so that they could be unafraid. So shortly, a few months after Olivia was walking, we bought her a toddler potty. Again, not to potty train her, but just so, like our friend said, she could be curious, she could check it out and be unafraid of it. Well, within minutes of posting a picture on Facebook, my mother calls. What in the world are you doing? You're going to scar your child. Do not do this to her. She's not ready yet. And of course, even at the age of 28, I use the classic excuse that all of us use with our mothers, but mom, my friends are doing it. And then my mom responded, and she's going to screw up her child too. And so I really took it to heart. I was kind of offended. I was kind of hurt, and I started to second guess our decision to, you know, get this potty. And then I received criticism from my wife from siding with my parents, and then I sided back with my wife, and I received criticism from my parents, and I can't win as a white male in this society anymore. But when it comes from somebody that you love, when it comes from somebody that you care about, I mean, you really take that criticism to heart. It can be really hard to hear from somebody that you love. What do you do when somebody criticizes what you do? What do you do when you think you have thought up the greatest idea on the face of the planet and somebody tells you it's not? What do you do when somebody tells you that you need to improve when you feel like you're giving your very, very best? What do you do when you sit down and somebody says that they think that they can do it better than you can, and everything that you've done, everything you've worked for so far, is actually going to be undone because somebody else thinks that they can do it better? How is it that you handle criticism? In this series, we've looked a lot at Solomon, who was kind of nicknamed the wisest man who ever lived. And the way that he got that title is he was a very, very young king. He was given a kingdom when he didn't hold any kind of qualifications to hold a kingdom at all. But his father David had passed away, and his father David said, "You're the king now." And so what Solomon did is he went out and he spoke to God, and God asked him, "What do you want? Tell me what you want. I'll give you whatever you want." And he said, "God, I want the wisdom to be able to take care of and lead your people." And so God gave him that, and God gave him the greatest kingdom and gave him the best wisdom in order to lead that kingdom. And so Solomon became the wisest man or king who ever lived, and he had all kinds of nuggets of wisdom. And a lot of those nuggets of wisdom he actually wrote down, and then later on in history, they were collected, and they formed the Book of Proverbs. The Book of Proverbs in the Old Testament is a collection of King Solomon's little nuggets of wisdom. And one thing that King Solomon knew and understood was that no matter what, criticism was coming. You can't stop criticism. Everyone is going to be criticized at some point because everyone's a leader and everyone else thinks that they're a better leader. So criticism is going to come. What do you do with criticism? Well, King Solomon believed you can't stop it, number one. But number two, we need to hear it. Criticism shouldn't be something that we avoid. Criticism is something we should eagerly anticipate, know is coming, and be ready to listen to. He wrote these two proverbs here. "Get all the advice and instruction you can, so you will be wise the rest of your life." If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. Solomon really strongly believed that criticism is not something that we should avoid because it's going to happen anyway. But not only should we accept it and be ready to hear it, we should actually seek it out. It should be something we welcome in our life When we receive criticism as a leader, our response shouldn't be anger, shouldn't be upset, shouldn't be defensiveness. It should be, tell me more. Because we want criticism. We want feedback. Because some criticism actually can make us a better leader. There's a quote I found this week by Pastor Norman Peel. It's going to be on the screen. He said this, "The trouble with most of us is that we'd rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism." Isn't that the truth? That many times we would much rather be wrong but told, "You did a great job," than we would be saved by criticism. We'd much rather it be just brushed aside and told, "Yeah, you did good. I know you gave your best. Here's an appreciation award. Here's a we know you did your best award." We would rather have that than receive any type of feedback that could actually make us better in the future. Why is that? I think really when I sit down and I think about it, I think the reason is because a lot of us leaders still operate on the gold star system. I mean, remember when you were in preschool and every good thing you did, you got a gold star for, you know? Good job, you cleaned up the toys. Good job, you know, you knew your letters. Good job, you didn't wet the bed during nap time. You get a gold star. And for however many gold stars you got, that meant you were a better student if you had more gold stars. My daughter, who goes to First Steps Preschool just down the road, she gets a different colored star every day. And she is so proud of her green star streak that she is on. She's like, "Daddy, got another green star. I didn't get a yellow star because I was a good listener. I was good. I did everything right today." And that's built into us at a very young age. And there are so many leaders today who are more concerned with how many green or gold stars that they have than actually being a better leader. There are so many of us today who are more about the wins instead of learning from the losses. Many of us are more concerned with being told, or at least the belief, that we are successful. Even though the truth is that some of us could grow to be better leaders and be actually more successful. And if we would listen to feedback, if we would accept constructive criticism, we actually could be more successful than we are now. But a lot of us don't want to be saved by criticism. We don't want to hear it because we're all about how many stars we can actually have. Here's the thing. Don't let your pride ruin what could be great. That's your pride speaking to you. When somebody says, "Yeah, it was good, but it could have been better." That thing that hurts inside, that thing that goes, "Oh, I didn't like that." That's your pride. Because you believed, because you thought it up, it was your idea, it was your work, you thought it was the greatest thing to ever happen. But the truth is that other people can see things differently than you. Other people can have different opinions than you. Some people can even solve solutions better than you can. And their criticism, their feedback to you, it could actually, if accepted, could make you better. But we let our pride so many times ruin what could be great. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he said this. He said, "Let me never fall into the vulgar mistake of dreaming that I am persecuted when I am contradicted." Let me never fall into the mistake of thinking I'm being persecuted when I am contradicted. So many of us, when we hear any type of criticism at all, what do we view it as? We view it as an attack. Somebody's after me. Somebody's trying to hurt me. They're trying to take my job. They're trying to knock me down a peg, you know? And we think that we're being persecuted. But this is a great quote. Now, let us never think that all criticism is persecution where somebody's out to get us. When we started this church 6 years ago, we started in Bonfils Auditorium, just a few blocks away. And when we began, our band performed on the stage. Beautiful stage they have there. We were able to turn the light boards on and everything else, and it looked beautiful. And so our band performed on stage. And I thought I would be a more humble preacher if I didn't get on the stage and if I stood on the floor. So the band was on stage, and I would preach from the floor with my iPad in my hand. And a little later on in our evolution, Pastor Josh, our worship pastor, said, "You know what would look really, really good? I think it would really enhance the Sunday morning experience is if you got on stage You got on stage and you preached, and then we could put the lights on you and everybody could see you. And I think it would just really elevate your preaching. And so I was very uncomfortable with this idea, because jumping up on a stage with spotlights on you and things, I was like, oh boy, this is a whole new ball of wax. But I said, well, I listened. I said, okay, let's try it. So we tried it and we received very positive feedback. So I said, all right, I don't like this, but I'll do it. Thank you. And so it stuck with us. And so here I was on stage, spotlights on me, my iPad in hand. A year or so later, Pastor Josh goes, you know what would make your preaching even better? What would be so great? It's if you took that iPad and you just kind of set it away from you and just walked away. And I was like, Josh, what am I going to do with my hands, though? I mean, I don't, you know, that pulpit that other preachers use, they're blocking so many ugly things. And they're doing all kinds of things with their hands that you don't even understand. But it's like a barrier between you and the people, you know? And so my iPad in my hand was the last barrier I had left. And Josh was like, just try. And so I did. I sat it down and I walked away and I was like Ricky Bobby. I was like, I don't know what to do with my hands, you know? But I did it. And again, we received really positive feedback. And you know, here's the thing. Pastor Josh is my friend and one of my biggest critics, but I always listen to Josh because I know that Josh has the same passion for our Sunday morning experience as I do. Josh has always pushed me to be a better speaker, to be a better pastor, to be a better preacher. And so any criticism that Josh gives me, I listen to it, I evaluate it, I trust it, and I try it. Because I know when Josh gives me criticism, it's not to persecute me. It's not to hurt me. It's not anything even about me. He wants our Sunday morning experience to be good as I do. And that's the thing that we all have to understand. The best leaders are the leaders who listen to criticism, evaluate it, and learn from it. Because there is some criticism that we need to consider, that we need to take in and we need to evaluate, because if we did, it would actually make us more successful. It would actually make us better leaders. Criticism is not a bad thing. Constructive criticism, as Solomon said, can actually make us very, very wise. Not all criticism is an intruder in your home. Sometimes it's just a messenger delivering something that you honestly need to hear. But the good news is that it can actually make us better. A proverb that many of us know, you may not have even known that it came from Solomon, is this. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Have you ever heard that before? That came from Solomon. Iron sharpens iron. Friends sharpen friends. When we trust one another, when we listen to one another, when we evaluate the criticism that we're hearing, it can actually make us better. We've actually built this into the DNA of our church. I've really tried to make this a part of our culture here at Anchored Hope Church this last year. One thing that we do every single Sunday, our teachers will email me and all the other teachers, and they answer three questions in an email. What went well? What could have gone better? And how do we make it better? Every single week, we evaluate Sunday mornings, and we accept criticism and criticize one another and criticize our Sunday morning experience and ask the question, what went well? That's good. But what could have gone better? And then how do we make it better? Let's get a plan in place. Let's not just gripe for gripe's sake, but okay, if something could have been better, how do we make it better? I even began doing this first before we had the teachers start doing this, with the leadership team and the staff. And I've even added several creatives and entrepreneurs and artists in our church in on this email. It's an email of about 12 people now. And every Tuesday morning, the first thing I do when I get in the office is I look at all the numbers, I look at everything that happened, and I sit at my computer and I write an email and I answer the question, what went well? What could have gone better? And how do we make it better? It's built in to the culture and the DNA of our church, because we as leaders here understand that we have to criticize things in order to sometimes make it the best it can be, because we're passionate about you. We're passionate about our community. I already started the process on Trunk or Treat last night. I have a ton of things I want to change and I want to make better next year, but there's a ton of things that we celebrated as well. But criticism isn't bad. it can make us better. It has to be something that we accept and that we listen to. As James, the brother of Jesus, said, be slow to anger, be slow to speak, and be quick to listen. Because when we do that, instead of responding, instead of being defensive, instead of attacking back, if we can sit there as a leader who, quite honestly, feels safe in their identity, knows who they are as a leader, is comfortable enough handling criticism, and says, you know what, this can only hurt me if I let it hurt me. So bring it on. Let me hear more. That's a mature leader. That's a leader who's going to be able to grow and be more successful in the future. But we all know, too, that not all criticism is actually good criticism. Helpful criticism is great. And when we hear helpful, constructive criticism, we should file it away. We should take that, and the next time, we can be better. But we all know that not every critic is created equal. There is some criticism that's actually quite dangerous to have in our lives. There's some criticism that is not good to listen to, and that criticism needs to be thrown away. If it's good, you file away. If it's crap, you throw it away. How do you determine, though, if criticism is worth filing away or throwing away? Well, the first thing that we've got to answer is, who's giving the criticism? Who is giving the criticism? How well does the person know you? Is this someone you even know at all, or is this, again, coming from somewhere online, from some stranger in some letter with no return address and no signature? My mom, I listen, when my parents come to our church, I listen to my mom's criticism of our church. I listen to my mom's criticism more than I do Mama Bear 420 on a Google review, because my mom has a whole lot more clout than Mama Bear 420 does online, who I don't even know who that person is. Who is the person who's giving you the criticism? And is it someone you trust? Is it a friend? Is it somebody who you know has the same passion and intentions as you do? The other question to ask is, how many people are saying the same thing? How many people? Is this one person? Is it 10? Is it the majority of people? If you're sitting in a room of 9 people and everybody says, that was a great decision, I think that went really well, fantastic. And there's that one jackwagon who you know is really never happy anyway, who's beating the band about how much they didn't like something. Well then, is that something that you should really file away? That one person who's never happy, should you really give that person's opinion and criticism that much weight? When you have a team of people who are on board, who have the same vision as you, same passion as you, and are headed towards the same destination as you, how many people are truly saying it? The other question we have to ask is, are they incessant or are they constructive? Are they incessant or are they constructive? There are some people who are just unhappy. We all know one or two. There are some people that no matter how bright the sun is shining, you say, isn't it a beautiful day? Well, it could be better. It could be a bit brighter. I could say it's 60 degrees. I wish it was 62. That's what I'm thinking today. Okay, nice to meet you. I'm going to go away now. Because there are some people who are just incessant, who are just critical, who are just unhappy. And here's the thing. Hurt people tend to hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And some people are gonna have a problem, no matter what the problem may be. And when you come into critics like that, don't let their problem become your problem. When you come across an incessant leader, you just quite honestly need to ignore it. You need to throw it away. Because when we run into hurt people who wanna hurt people, people with problems that just wanna have a problem, quite honestly, a lot of times what those critics just wanna do is fight. They're just picking a fight. They want to argue with you. They want you to comment back so bad. They want to get that news feed just a little bit longer. You know, they want to sit behind their phone and just tear you to pieces. They want to come after your business. They want to tear down your marriage. They want to tear down your family. They want to tear down the work that you did. Because hurt people want to hurt people. And quite honestly, the thing that we can do to feel like that person won is we can fight back with them. And there's nothing worse than a defensive leader. There really isn't. There's nothing worse than a defensive leader. And here's what's going to happen in that situation, in that scenario, is you're going to fight back. You're going to defend yourself as a leader. And no matter what you say or how you say it, something you said or how you said it is going to be picked out of that conversation. And that critic is going to take how you criticize them back to other critics. And they're going to use that one thing you said wrong or that one moment you got a little bit angry. And they're going to use it to tear you down even more. When you come across that incessant critic, you need to ignore it. You need to act like it never even happened. And the thing you have to understand about that kind of critic is that what people criticize the most often reveals what people understand the least. Here's the thing. You as a leader, you are the only person who probably sits where you sit. You are the only person who hears what you hear. You are the only person who thinks what they have to think. And there are so many other people who do not live in your arena, who do not sit in the seat that you have, but they think that they could do your job just as well. You are experienced in this job. You went to school for this job. You trained for this job. But yet there are some people still today who think that they should be the president of the United States of America. You know? And we all have opinions on how we would run this country, even though none of us have any experience in running a country. But people love to criticize what they understand the least. One of my worst phrases that I hate to hear, so don't ever say it to me. None of you ever have, of course. But the phrase is, what you need to do is. I hate that phrase. You know what you need to do is. What you need to do is, and I go, hot dog, you know what? I've been thinking about this and planning this for months, and you solved it in 10 seconds. Wow, how did you do that? Tell me, how long have you been a pastor? How many churches have you planted? Tell me, did you go to school for this too? It's amazing how you just know what I need to do. Thank you so much. The world is solved, because I never thought about anything that you're thinking about right now. My dad, I make fun of him so bad because his favorite team is the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, and he watches the Dallas Cowboys religiously. But my dad doesn't just watch the Dallas Cowboys. My dad thinks he's on the sidelines with the coach and the players. And so if a pass is thrown and they don't catch the ball, he will yell at the TV, "You gotta catch the ball!" He thinks he's right there. If the quarterback gets tackled, he's like, "You guys gotta block!" You know, and he thinks he's sitting there right now, and he talks to Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, like he knows Jerry. "Come on, Jerry." And I finally, one week, broke down. I said, "Dad, you know they can't hear you, right? You're in our living room here in St. Louis. Jerry's not your friend. You don't know him, and they can't hear you. But all of us in the house, we can all hear you. We can all hear you very well, Dad." I'm not that guy. Some of you may enjoy doing that. If that's how you like to watch football, that's your thing. But I don't do that because my 1 year of coaching peewee football does not qualify me to tell any coach or NFL player how to do their job. But there are so many of us in our culture today because it's so easy, because of technology, we're able to share our opinions so much. But some of us, quite honestly, just shoot criticism out without even understanding what we're saying. And you know, one of the things that I love about Josh and Pastor Carey and our staff, if there's ever a time where they criticize something, it always begins with a why. Not a what, but a why. You know, Pastor Josh, when he talked to me about my preaching, he said, "You know, here's why I'm telling you this. I think that this could enhance our Sunday morning experience, and I'm sure you thought about this, but can I just give my two thoughts on this? And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I want our church to be better. What do you think about that?" He doesn't come to me and go, "You know what you need to do," because I don't do this every week, but I've got it planned out because I've been watching a lot of online preachers, and here's what you need to do. He doesn't come about it like that. He doesn't start with the what. He starts with the why. And that's something that we as criticizers really need to learn to do, that before we criticize anything, we need to understand the why we're even criticizing. And we need to be able to explain that to our bosses, to our spouses, to our teachers, to our football coaches, far before we start to tell them how they need to do their job. Because we don't have a place to tell anybody how they should parent their kid. We don't sit on any place where we deserve to tell anybody how they should do their job. We don't sit on a place where we should tell anybody what they need to change or what they need to do different unless we're the boss, unless we're sitting in the driver's seat, unless we're the leader who has looked over this seat and been given this seat of authority by God. Critics can be harmful. And many of us, we have to understand that some criticism should not be listened to. It should be thrown away. It should be ignored. So what do we do when we come into that type of critic? If we're not supposed to respond, how is it that we're supposed to respond? Well, we respond by doing this. We outperform them. That's what we do. You have to understand that critics are loud, but success is always louder. You don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to defend your parenting choices. You don't need to defend the way you run your business. You don't need to defend how you run your church. You don't need to defend how you do what you do in your marriage. You don't need to defend that to anybody because quite honestly, all that happens in that moment is we just fight a little bit louder and the conversation goes on longer than it should. When it's something that you should just throw away, the best thing that you could do is outperform them because success is always louder than a critic's voice. When I was in college and I took over student ministries, let me tell you what I did. I didn't whine. I didn't complain. I said, well, I'll show you. And I did. And I was super successful in those 2 years of running the student ministries on MNU's campus. But the best thing that you could do is put your head down, not whine or become a baby about whatever critics said, but go, I'll show you. I believe in this so much. I feel so prepared. I feel so organized. Watch me now because I'm going to go be successful. And that success is more powerful than any defense you could ever give. And you know what was amazing about that story of being student VP of student ministries? Is when I graduated 2 years later, at the end of my senior year, they elected a new guy, a sophomore by the name of Jacob. And he came into my office and he told me how he was going to do away with everything that I had done and totally flip it again. And I looked at Jacob and I said, I hope it works out great. And I gave him my blessing. And I told him, it sounds terrific, man. I didn't think it was really going to work. But I gave him the blessing and the optimism that I wish somebody had given me. Because I was walking away from that seat. It wasn't mine to hold. The campus, they voted for him. They elected him in, and I was leaving. It wasn't my baby to hold on to. It's okay to own something, but don't take ownership of it. It's okay to own something, but don't take ownership of it. It's not yours. Own it. Love it. Have passion for it. But it's not really yours to hold on to. And I gave him my blessing. And that's one of the things that we can do for one another as we criticize. Criticism can be so constructive, so great. It can make us all better leaders and successful. But we have to criticize and give feedback the right way. And as you receive criticism, some of it, listen to all of it. Listen to all of it. When you get criticism, say, tell me more. Not, well, but, hold on. Well, see the reason. No. Listen to all of it. Tell me more. Listen to all of it and then decide for yourself. Evaluate. Do I need to file it away or do I need to throw it away? And that is what can save you from a lot of headaches in the future, but can also make you the better leader that God wants you to be. We're going to do a lot more series on leadership here at Anchored Hope Church. I've really felt passionate about this last year, that I believe that so many other churches, and I'm not criticizing other churches, but I kind of am, in a good way. So many other churches, I believe, treat their people like sheep. But I believe that what our culture and our community needs more today than ever is not more followers, but leaders. And all of you are leaders. I believe every single one of you are leaders that our communities and our schools and our businesses and our government and our teams need. Even you students are leading our youth ministry. It's not Pastor Carrie and Wes. You are the leaders of our student ministry. You are the leaders of what the next generation looks like. Every single one of us have an influence that we can have, and we need leaders to rise up. And so we're going to do a lot more series on leadership because I'm not treating you like stupid sheep. You need to take the lead and you need to take the seat that God wants to give you where you are in your context, because each of you has something that you can give. Let me pray for you this morning. God, this morning I thank you so much for all the leaders in this room. God, I pray that as each of us come into criticism, that you would help us to be able to be confident in who we are in you, to be able to know that our identity is not shaken by critics, but it's formed by who we are in you. And so, God, will you help us to be confident enough in who we are to be able to listen to all criticism? And then, God, will you give us the wisdom that we need to listen, to evaluate, and to learn from criticism? And God, if it's something we should file away, help us use it to make us better leaders. But God, if it's something that we need to throw away, help us to not be defensive, to fight back, but help us to be rid of it, to put it aside, and help, and give us the strength and the endurance and the wisdom we need to put our head down, to get back on the grind, and to outperform, to be successful. Help us prove that the vision and the plans and the ideas that you've given us are true, are real, are worth following. God, I pray for every leader in this room as they leave and as they go home and as they lead their families, as they lead their marriages, as they lead their businesses, as they lead their coworkers this week, as they lead their classrooms, as they lead their teams. And God, for every single one of us, as we choose to lead ourselves, help us to lead well. God, we thank you and we pray these things in your name. Amen. I'm so glad that you guys chose to be here. I'm really excited again about November 10th and 11th. If you're new here today, please stop by our cafe, speak to our welcome team, pick up your gift. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. I hope you guys have a fantastic week and great conversations in your groups this week. Why don't you guys stand up, shake hands with somebody, and you guys are dismissed.
Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today. We hope that you can make it to one of our Sunday morning experiences at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Don't forget to check out our website, www.anchoredhope.church. You can also give online very easily and conveniently. We'd love to have your support on our mission to lead people to a growing relationship with Jesus.